More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, your domestic church. Raising kids is a tough job. Do you have questions about parenting or creating a more faithful family life? Let us help. The number, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. And we're calling all parents today on More to Life. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And the title of today's show, Your Domestic Church. We're talking about parenting. And let's face it, raising kids is a tough job, and Catholic parenting even more so. So if you've got parenting questions, whether you're wondering how to handle certain parenting issues more gracefully, or you'd like to feel more confident about passing the faith on to your kids, or wondering how to celebrate your faith more meaningfully at home, we want to help you. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Let's talk about how to build stronger, more dynamic domestic churches. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
You know, I think there's nothing tougher than parenting. From pretty much the minute you start thinking about having a child to the end of your life, you are parenting. Whether you are a parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent, you are doing that parenting forever.
And we like to joke that you're a parent forever in the order of Melchizedek.
You know, kind
Catholic
of a
nerd
twist
joke there.
Yeah, kind of a twist on there. A priest, you're forever in the order of Melchizedek, but you are a parent forever.
Oh, they're booing. Oh, wow.
In the order of Melchizedek. Right. And you are. You know, we were talking to good friends last night whose, you know, family was going along just fine, and then suddenly, you know, one of their kids has been hit with a really difficult challenge in their lives. And it's never a case of I got this. It's great. It's just fine. You can have about a day of that thinking. I remember it happening like a zillion times, especially when our kids were much younger, very little, where I was like, oh, we've got this. We've got a routine down. Everything's great. This is fine. And then they'd wake up on the wrong side of the bed, or they'd change the stage of capability and thinking that they were in, or they would have a problem with their social life. Everything would change. The whole dynamic would change. And as a parent, I had to change with it and figure out how to bring it back to a place of love, a place of faith, a place of calm, a place where we all liked each other. And that can be hard to find some days as a family. So if you're in a family, whether you are parenting your kids or your kids are adults and you're still concerned, we are here to help you with whatever you're dealing with in trying to not just be a family, but be a Catholic family in a crazy, crazy world. You know, we are actually called to be domestic churches, not just a bunch of people living under the same roof and sharing a tax return. We actually are meant to be domestic churches. What we do as a family is a ministry to each other and to the world. And if that sounds like way more than you signed up for, impossible in the midst of everything you're handling, let us help you out today. Give us a call on More to Life. We can handle the little questions, the giant questions, and the what the heck do you mean about a domestic church and how do we do that questions. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And again, whether you've got parenting questions or about littles or teenagers or adult kids or grandkids for that matter, or you're wondering how to handle you passing on the faith to your kids or celebrating the faith more meaningfully at home.
If you want to get your spouse on the same page, either with the faith or how you're raising the kids, or you keep having arguments over how you're raising those kids, or something's just not working between you and your spouse, to give you that domestic church, that life of peace and love and friendship with each other that you so desperately want to have, we're here for that as well.
877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. And every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're not familiar with that, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections over the course of about 5 years, where he looked at creation and salvation history and the Gospels and showed how those things reveal God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
The theology of the body reminds us that families are schools of love and virtue, where we all learn to live life as a gift, and that parents are the most important teachers in this school of love. But as we were saying, parenting can be hard, and it really is tempting to just settle for, we got through the day with our kids. But, you know, Catholic parents are called to do so much more. The Church tells us that parenting is actually one of the most important ministries in the Church, because it's the primary way the next generation of Christian disciples is formed. It's how we're supposed to pass on our faith. The world needs loving, responsible, godly people. And God commissioned Catholic parents to give the world what it needs.
And that's a big job. But, you know, the more that we can approach parenting in a prayerful, thoughtful, intentional, graceful manner, the more we're able to fulfill our mission as Catholics to let God change the world through our families by raising that next generation of faithful, courageous, loving, responsible, godly men and women. Now, look, of course, none of us know how to do that perfectly. And no matter how well we think we were raised by our parents, none of us are saints yet. And none of us knows how to raise saints, which is exactly what we're called to do. We've all got a lot to learn. And that's why every day, especially when we're struggling, we need to turn to our Heavenly Father and ask Him, Lord, teach me to be the parent You want me to be in this moment and all day, every day. Help me to respond to my kids in ways that will glorify You. Help me be my best self. And help bring out the best in my kids in every situation. Give me Your grace and love, and let my kids experience that love and grace through me. 877-573-7825. We're talking about building a strong domestic church, and raising kids is a tough job. So whether you've got questions about parenting or creating a more faithful family life, we are here for you. 877-573-7825. Let's talk, and you know, what is a domestic church anyway? Let's talk about that, because you know, in the catechism, if you look it up, it basically just says the domestic church is a manifestation of ecclesial reality.
That's helpful.
Well,
when the kids are crying and you know, tearing off their diapers and throwing them across the room, that helps a lot.
Yeah, but but a domestic church, you know, it's a household of people that are connected through sacramental grace to each other and God, and committed to sharing the Christian vision of love in their life with each other and the world. That's what a domestic church is. It's an outpost of grace in a hurting world, where we show God's love to each other first in our homes, and then with everybody that we encounter as well. And so, you know, we want to talk about how families can actually become that. What it takes to really live that out. In fact, this is a conversation we were having this week on Catholic Home at CatholicHOM.com with the parents that are members there. And we were talking about how family life is a ministry. And, you know, we have a tendency to think of ministry as the churchy stuff we do at church. But really, ministry is any activity that communicates God's love to another person. And that's why the church says that marriage and family life is a ministry as well. Because as couples and families, Christian couples and families, it's not our job to just love each other with our broken human love. It's our job every day to ask God to teach us how to love each other with His love. And that should look very different than what the world imagines marriage and family life to be. Now, you know, that's nice to say, but how do you actually pull it off? Well, let's talk it out at 877-573-7825. Lisa, who's up next?
We're talking with Erica, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma.
Hi, Erica. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yes. I have a question. I have a 19-year-old that just started dating, has her first boyfriend. He is not Catholic or not practicing Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
She is very involved in her youth group and serving others and very Catholic. I brought her up in a very Catholic household.
Okay.
But in the past 6 months of her dating this young man, he has given her a lot of gifts, expensive gifts. I've added up probably more than $3,000 worth of gifts. How can I make her realize that these are red flags in this relationship? She just doesn't want
to
hear it.
Talk to me about how have you been talking with her about her relationships? Because, you know, you're saying she's a very faithful Catholic woman who's involved in the church, but she's dating a non-Catholic guy. Talk to me about your conversations with her about her relationships in general.
This is her first boyfriend, so we've taken her to Theology of the Body conferences and told her, you know, a man is supposed to respect you, take care of you. Doesn't matter if he's wealthy.
But have you talked to her about what she wants from a relationship? Like, what does she want in a relationship? What are her answers?
She wants somebody that could take care of her, that a faithful man. I mean, we've talked about what she wants.
She wants that, or you want that for her? How does she justify dating this guy that's not faithful?
Oh, because she's saying that he's very sweet to her, and he's hardworking, and you know she can convert.
Does he pray
him
with
to
her
faith later on?
Yes, she's banking on that. Oh, he loves me enough. He'll become Catholic because he's such a good person. He's love bombing her with all of these gifts. He seems really sweet. And she's just not seeing it coming because she's, you know, having her head turned by all of this. And she is probably desperate for a boyfriend at 19 years old. Yeah. She's the very first one.
So you're right. This is a red flag, and it is called love bombing. It's where the person just kind of, you know, showers you with gifts so that you can't think
even
straight.
Attention and just dissuades you from their character by just making that, you know, the person, whether it's a male or a female, look like, you know, the answer to all of your hopes and dreams.
You know, Erica, I think, and I'd encourage you to take a look at Parenting Your Teens with Grace. And in that book, we talk a lot about how to help our kids, our teenagers, have healthy relationships. And one of the first things that we encourage parents to be doing is praying with their kids about these kinds of questions, about these relationships, you know, where every day you should be praying with your daughter, Lord, you know, bless my daughter and help this relationship be what you want it to be. Help my daughter to really know who she is as your beautiful, beloved daughter, and to never settle for anything less than she deserves. You know, she's told me that she wants a godly man who can love her and lead her closer to you. And if this is that relationship, then I ask you to bless it. And if it's not, then I ask you to help her find the man that you do have in your heart for her. And, you know, you invite her to pray that with you, right? And the thing about that prayer is, you know, yes, you're communicating your concerns, but you're giving the relationship to God. And you're leading her to do the same. Because right now she's trying to figure this out on her own. And as a 19-year-old girl, you know, she's struggling to do that. You know, she sees this guy who's sweet and who's just pouring gifts on her and attention and
looks like Prince Charming.
And she doesn't know what's right and what's good in this relationship. And so teaching her to bring the relationship to God every day, you know, with you starts getting her thinking, you know, well, I should be able to bring this relationship to God with him. And in fact, you need to ask her, you know, can you pray about your relationship with him? That's the second thing we recommend in Parenting with Grace, where, you know, we need to be teaching our kids from the very first date to be praying with that person about the relationship. Lord, you know, bless our friendship and help it to be what you want it to be. And you know, invite her to do that. You know, say, you know, are you as a faithful young woman, you can't be afraid of bringing this relationship to God, even with him. And see how he responds to that. You know, I know that you like him, and I know that you think that you could convert him down the line. See how he responds to it now. Ask him to pray with you about this relationship. How would he respond to that? Because a healthy relationship should always help you feel more of what you are and more of what you believe, not less. And so if he is the man that God has chosen for you, he will respond well to your invitation to pray about the relationship with him. And if he's not the man that God wants for you, he's going to start resisting that and pushing back on it. And you're going to feel ashamed about your faith. And that's going to give you really important information. You telling her what to do won't work.
No,
you telling
in fact,
her what to
it'll
do
make
push her
back
his arms.
Away from you. Yeah.
It'll push her into his arms. But you bringing the relationship and those concerns to God in an open and humble sort of way.
And even praying for the relationship, if it is God's will for her, that will help her to really open up to God's grace, see you as a companion along the way in this situation, and really help her, you know, kind of check her history of theology of the body and being raised by you in the way that she was. Also, invite them over for dinner. I don't know if she lives with you or she doesn't live with you. I'm assuming she does, but have him over for dinner and family game nights, and get to know him, and be yourselves and your most godly selves. You know, say grace before meals if that's something you traditionally do. Make sure you're talking about, you know, what you heard at Mass this week or whatever it is. It's either going to make him recoil very quickly, and then she'll start to see that, or it may open him up where he's like, oh, you know what, this Catholic faith of your family's is pretty cool. I want to know more about that.
You know, I have a joke, all right? You know, in The Art of War, Sun Tzu says, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I like to say, keep your friends close and your daughter's boyfriend closer.
A lot closer.
You know, because the reality is, you know, the more you put yourself up as an obstacle to this relationship, the more you're going to push her into his arms. The more you welcome him into your faithful family and invite him to pray with you and invite him to do healthy things with you, and you see how he responds to that, either that's going to help convert him, or it's going to show her that he is not the man for her. So again, to follow up with these suggestions, and if you'd like to learn more about helping your daughter have a healthy attitude toward dating relationships, I really encourage you to check out Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. By the way, we also talk about these kinds of questions at Catholic Home. That's CatholicHOM.com, where all of our members get to interact with our team of pastoral counselors and coaches every day about questions like this and about all the things they need to do to build a more dynamic domestic church. You can learn more about getting that help and support on an ongoing basis at CatholicHOM.com.
But Erica, I know, mom to mom here, you're scared. You're very scared. And you have a right to be in this situation, especially with the world the way it is today. I want you to take a deep breath. I want you to pray for the Holy Spirit to come into your daughter's heart and into this relationship, and for the Holy Spirit to sort this out and give your daughter the eyes to see this correctly and the courage to do what she needs to do. Please be praying through this so that you are in a space where you can walk in God's peace, so that you can help share that with her instead of just sharing all your fears, because you don't want her to recoil from you. You want her to see you as the person she turns to every step of the way through this and any other relationship.
All right, thanks so much for the call, Erica, and you know where to find us if you have other questions. 877-573-7825. We're talking about building strong domestic churches today on More to Life. Raising kids is a tough job, and Catholic parenting even more so. If you have parenting questions, or you'd like to feel more confident passing the faith on to your kids, or wondering how to celebrate your faith more meaningfully at home, whether we're talking about infants or school-age kids, teenagers, adult kids, we want to help you build those strong, dynamic domestic churches. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And we'll be taking more of your calls when More to Life returns right after the break.
At EWTN Radio, your family. And because you're a part of our family, we value your opinions on what you hear on EWTN. You can call our listener comment line 24/7 at 205-795-5773. We value your comments, your questions, and any suggestions you may have to make EWTN Radio even better. 205-795-5773. And thank you for listening to EWTN Radio.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. And today on More to Life, your domestic church. We're talking about Catholic parenting, whether you've got questions about handling certain parenting situations or want to be more confident about passing the faith on to your kids or wondering how to celebrate your faith more meaningfully at home, we want to help you build a stronger, more dynamic domestic church. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, whether you are a parent or a spiritual parent, if you are helping to move younger people into the world of faith and contending with the world the way it is today, and you have questions, we're here for you. 877-573-7825. Let's go now to Brenda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Hi, Brenda. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
How are you today?
Good. Good to hear from you. What's up?
Well, I was listening to your program, and I've never married. I don't have kids of my own, but my sister's got four kids, so I'm the aunt of four, and mm-hmm. one in heaven. Oops, hold on just a second. Okay. I'm on a phone call, so I'll talk with you. I apologize.
No worries. It's fine.
Life happens, right? Yeah. Life happens.
Multitasking here.
So you're the aunt of these
I have
four
to go
children.
Real quick. Yes, I'm the aunt of four, and I just wanted to put out there, you know what, you're talking about grandparents, parents, grandparents, grandparents, great-grandparents. Hey, don't forget about the aunts and uncles.
You bet.
Absolutely not.
They are an amazing, huge part of these kids' lives, and I love my niece and nephews to the end of the world and back. They're almost grown. But, just wanted to
No, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did, because here's the thing, you know, when we talk about domestic churches, everybody kind of thinks about the Ozzie and Harriet family, and people think that the phrase domestic church excludes people, and it doesn't at all. In fact, you know, one of the funny things about Christianity, when it first came out, I guess.
when it first developed.
Yeah, well, it was very scandalous to the ancient Romans, because Romans had a very tribal idea of what a family was. You were either blood or you were out, right? You were either part of the tribe or you were not. For when Christians came along, we proclaimed that grace was thicker than blood, and that everybody was a brother and sister in the Lord, right? And so when we you know, what that means is that everybody's part of a domestic church. And Brenda, you in particular are part of your sister's domestic church.
And when we witness a child's baptism, we all make a promise, whether we are blood or not, and you are, We all make that promise to help raise that child in the faith. And I love that you're stepping in and doing that, Brenda. Kids need a support system. We all need a support system. Being a family is difficult, more difficult today than ever. Parents are stretched so, so thin. You know, I read the book Make Your Bed by William McRaven, and he was a Navy SEAL, and he talks about needing a team. And I think it's so important that Catholics remember that we make those baptismal promises to each other to be a team, to help each other get through life, be the best Catholics we can be, raise these kids together. And I love that your witness is you're standing up and saying, these kids are my kids too, and I'm here to help my sister and brother-in-law. I'm here to help these children. And your witness today to that is so important.
Every Christian is called to be a spiritual parent first. And some spiritual parents go on to have biological children or adopted children as well. But every Christian is called to be a spiritual parent. In other words, to use their gifts and talents to facilitate the flourishing of every other brother and sister in the Lord. And you're doing that through your role as an aunt. And I want to thank you for recognizing that and intuiting that and being part of your sister's domestic church and being exercising your spiritual parenthood with your nieces and nephews. I think it's beautiful and a real inspiration to everyone else who's in your similar situation. You know, again, being part of it, you are not excluded, and nobody is excluded from a domestic church. You are part of a domestic church. And as Christians, if you don't have your own domestic church, then somebody else's domestic church needs to bring you in. That's part of that radical acceptance and inclusion hospitality that all Christians are called to as well.
Thank you for being such an amazing aunt.
Amen. Well, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're taking more of your calls about parenting on today's show, Your Domestic Church. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back in a minute.
Remember the song, You Gotta Have Hope? All you really need is hope? Well, it's not all you need, but it is one of the three theological virtues. The Catholic Catechism tells us that hope helps us desire heaven and eternal life as our happiness. We trust in Jesus' promise while relying not just on our own strengths, but with the assistance extended by grace from the Holy Spirit. Hope keeps discouragement at bay and sustains us in times of abandonment. It preserves us from selfishness by leading us to the happiness that flows from charity. Christian hope unfolds from Jesus' preaching of the Beatitudes, which raises our hope to heaven as the new promised land. The Catechism says hope is expressed and nourished in prayer, especially the Our Father, the summary of everything that hope leads us to desire. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
People have this false notion that after the Supreme Court came out with, of course, Roe v. Wade, and gave us abortion on demand through 9 months of pregnancy, all of a sudden, all of these regulations were put into place. When all of these independent abortion facilities popped up all over the country, when Planned Parenthood started opening its doors and doing abortions legally after 1973, that it was always so safe and wonderful. And they believe this because they don't see these stories about the botched abortions, the women who have lost their lives, the women who have been violated because their information has been tossed out in the street with the garbage and the medical waste, not to mention the fact that the regulations that are on the books are not even enforced, and rarely are these facilities inspected, and yet people think that they're so safe.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern. On EWTN Radio.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Raising kids is hard. We all do our best, and we all fear that we failed in some way. Especially when our relationship with our adult kids isn't what we wish it was, it's easy to give in to self-recrimination. Blame, especially self-blame, accomplishes nothing except fostering the feeling that we're stuck and powerless. Rather than ruminating about past mistakes, put your energy in what needs to happen to make your relationship stronger today. Look for opportunities to create a stronger connection with your adult kids. Seek out ways to build build trust. Take the initiative. Of course, you need to respect your adult children's boundaries, but let them know that you have no intention of giving up on them and that you're willing to have whatever relationship they're willing to build with you. Start from that point and build from there. Want more tips for strengthening your relationship with your adult kids? Check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Your Domestic Church. We're talking about how to become an outpost of grace in a hurting world. How can you raise godly kids in this crazy secular world? What if you've got parenting questions, wondering how to handle certain parenting situations gracefully, would like to feel more confident about passing the faith on to your kids, or are just wondering how to celebrate your faith more meaningfully at home, give us a call. We want to help you build a strong, dynamic, domestic church. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Deirdre, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Deirdre. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, so I have a teenage son and a young adult son. They both live with my husband and I. And I have, over the years, asked my husband and nagged my husband to pray the rosary with us, to pray with us. We pray meals, you know, grace before meals. He's done it unwillingly, and usually it lasts for like 2 or 3 days, and then it stops. And I've been praying with my boys here and there, and they go to church regularly. They love the faith, and now they're to the point where I think they've been, like, they're exhausted with mom. I mean, I've been the one basically that has done the faith formation and everything. And they respond to their father more now than me. And so when I ask my husband, basically, will you pray the rosary with us? It's no.
Will he pray anything with you? Will he pray anyway with you, or he just rejects?
You know what? Occasionally he will, like when he's been in between jobs and he's needed a job, I'm like, you know what? We need to go to St. Joseph. We need to pray. So he and I will do that together. And it's, trust me, it's not comfortable for him. It's, you know that expression, you can't give what you don't have. You know, he was raised Catholic, but he really wasn't shown.
Well, let me ask you another question before we dive in too much deeper into this. So let's take it off religion for just a second. If there was anything else that was important to you, but not important to him, and you wanted him to do it, how would he respond to that?
It depends. I wanted to do counseling with him, and he said no, and that was important to me. But then there are other things he'll try to get for me. Like if it's something, he'll try to get that for me. But when I
if something's important to him, he has no problem asking you. But I'm saying if there's anything, right, not religion, but if there's anything at all like that you feel passionately about, but he doesn't see the value in. Does he usually say, "Oh yeah, honey, I love you. Let's do that," or does he just sort of say, "Well, you can do that thing on your own, but leave me out of it," or get resentful if you try to get him to join you?
He'll work with me. Yeah, he'll say, "If you really want this, yeah, we'll figure it out." Yeah, he'll do that.
Okay, wait a minute. I want to be really clear here. When you say, "If you really want this," are you talking about an object, or are you talking about something you want to do with him together? Has he ever left his comfort zone to do something with you that he's not interested in, but you want to do?
Yes, he has.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm asking that is because based on some of the other things you're saying here, it sounds to me like this is less of a religion problem than it is a failure of respect. Okay, so for example, when you say you asked him to go to counseling with you and he said no, you know, when a spouse respects another, like if Lisa came to me and said, you know, "Hey, I want to go to counseling," I might not want to go to counseling, but I'd be horrified that she thought we needed it,
and I would
want to know what was up, and I would want to address that concern. If she comes to me and says, "Hey, there's this thing that I'm passionate about that I want you to do with me," I might not love that thing, but I love her enough and respect her to want to see the truth and goodness and beauty and participate in that thing. The fact that he's not willing to do that, it speaks to me not just this. This is is not just a religion problem. I think it's also a respect problem, and I'd like you to reframe it that way with him, because if you just keep this as a religion problem, then the popular response, well, you can't shove somebody your faith down somebody else's throat. Well, then that's true, all right? But there are lots of families who aren't spiritually in the same place, but because they respect each other, they really try hard to meet each other as best they can. You know, so for example, if your husband truly respected you, you know, he might struggle with prayer, but he might say, you know, look, I really don't get the rosary, but I'd be willing to do this with you. Or, you know, prayer is really hard for me, but I understand it's important, so let's try to do this. He would find a way to try to meet you at a place where he could, you know, stretch himself a little bit and you guys could grow together. The fact that he's slamming the door in your face is not a religion problem, it's a respect problem. And I want you to go to him with that. And with the boys too, even, and say, look, you know, your response to me isn't acceptable. This is completely disrespectful, and you're treating me like I'm not a person in this relationship, and I don't have a right to have needs or have desires of my own unless you agree with them, and that's horrifying. And I don't, you're called to be a better man than that, and boys, you're called to be better men than that, and I'm sorry that I've tolerated it this long. Because frankly, I can't be a godly woman and allow you guys to treat me like this. So we are going to counseling. Whether you like it or not, I've made an appointment. And I'm going to go with you or without you, and things are going to start changing around here because I need to figure out how to call you on to be the godly man that you're meant to be, and for me to be that godly woman that I'm called to be, and stop letting you guys get away with this garbage. Right? Because you tolerating this lack of respect from the boys in your home, your husband and your children, has really undermined, right, the dignity of your whole household. Now, I'm not blaming you for that. I'm saying you haven't recognized that, and you weren't raised to appreciate, you know, how much you deserved that respect. And I think you were probably given counsel along the way that, oh, this is a religion thing, you can't force your religion on somebody else. That's true. But if you're with a person who respects you, they're willing to extend themselves beyond their comfort zone. And he's just not on these things. And, you know, the reason that a person refuses to go to counseling is because the relationship works for them and they don't want to change that. You know, so you have to let him know that things are changing, and he can either be part of the change or he can suffer the change, but things are going to be changing for the better. You're going to be inviting them to be the godly men and to have a godly household that they've been avoiding all this time.
And when you do this, okay, I want you to take a step back from the way you've been praying. Because the way you've been praying works for you because you are a woman of deep faith, you have a personal relationship with God. And the more formal prayers of the church, whether it's to St. Joseph or it's a daily rosary, make sense for you. Your husband is about 32 miles behind you in terms of a real relationship with God.
And I suspect the boys are farther behind you than you think.
I agree. And I really encourage you to not just lean on the prayers of the church that they can't relate to. It's like you're speaking a different language.
Yeah, well, because for them, for you, it's meaningful because you have a relationship with God. For them,
it's profound.
For them, it's saying words at a God that they don't really know very well.
Right. So I really encourage you to start praying with them spontaneously throughout the day. You know, one of the boys is going out to work or to school. You just, you know, as they're heading out, Lord, please bless my son, keep him safe and sound, give him a good day, let him have a great time, you know, please take care of him and meet all of his needs. Amen. He's out the door, and suddenly he's thinking, oh, God's with me all day, and Mom really loves me enough to care.
Do it while you give him the hug. Yeah. Give him a hug as he's going, and then pray over him while you're doing that.
Right? And same with your husband. He's heading out the door to work, or he's going out, you know, with his friends. A quick prayer that shows him that you love him and that you want God to be with him and bless him. Don't wait.
Lord, bless my husband and help him have a good day and let him know that I love him. Amen.
Don't wait till there's something major like a job loss and you're relying on St. Joseph, and then praying actually brings him into more of a state of stress, or is only related to a time of stress, or he's dealing with the rosary that he can't relate to right now and it seems long and boring to him. When you're in relationship with God and the Blessed Mother, the rosary is profound, and it can be used step by step to transform a heart. But if that's all you're doing, and you're not praying for that person, their needs, what's hurting their heart, even saying, God, help me to show my husband how much I love him and value him today. Amen. You're moving on, but it's making God part of your everyday, minute-by-minute life.
And I want you to start doing those things today, all right? But don't let that take your eyes off the fact that there's the deeper issue of a failure of respect in this relationship, and I do believe that you need counseling. You've known that for a long time, except he's put up that block. You do not need his agreement on that. You know, if you had cancer, you wouldn't ask for his permission to seek cancer treatment. Your household has a cancer and this failure of respect, and you need to seek treatment for it so it can be what God wants it to be. And if you'd like to learn more about doing that kind of godly marriage counseling, you can work with our team at Catholic Counselors to learn more about how to have faithful responses to these challenges, or work with somebody locally, either way. But you definitely need that support to work on this underlying issue of that failure of respect before it completely undermines your relationship with your boys, too, as it's beginning to do. Thanks for the call, Deirdre. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out here or at CatholicCounselors.com. We are taking your calls about parenting on our show titled Your Domestic Church. And we're talking about, you know, how to build a faithful family, how to respond to those parenting challenges that we all face, how to be more effective in experiencing God at home and living our faith at home. If you've got questions about any of that, give us a call at 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7.
And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up.
And the words in particular that they're responding to in Deuteronomy is the Lord saying, you know, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. And this is a command to all Christian households as well. This is sort of it's called the Shema. It's one of the most important prayers in Judaism.
Yeah.
But it's
and to us all.
It reminds every household who we are, where we come from, and what we're destined for.
But if you look at this, it's not reserve special time alone with God and only that time and acknowledge him then. No. It's diligently speak of this to your children, teach it to them. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That doesn't mean just formal prayer times. That means talking to your children all day long. You know what God did for me today? It was pouring, raining out, and I did not want to get drenched on the way home from the supermarket, and boom, he found me a parking space right near the door. You know what, God, I was really struggling with this, and God gave me this insight into what I was struggling with, and now I know what to do. Hey, where did God show up in your life? Did anything good happen to you today? You are constantly having that conversation that makes our ever-present God right there for them. They become fully aware. They begin listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. They begin trusting God and wanting to take every moment of their lives to him. That is what this scripture is talking about. God is a member of your family. Start to acknowledge him in the big and little ways. Talk to him. Have conversations about him. And realize that he wants to be with you and your children always.
All right. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your questions about building a strong, dynamic domestic church. Give us a call with your parenting questions, your questions about living and celebrating the faith at home, or passing the faith on to your kids. The number is 877-573-7825. And More to Life will continue with your questions right after this break.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see him standing right next to you.
Mother Angelica Live Classics. Tonight, 8 Eastern on EWTN Television and Radio.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your questions about building a strong domestic church, whether you've got parenting questions, questions about passing the faith on to your kids, or celebrating the faith at home, give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Sandy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Hi, Sandy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I have been struggling with an issue since I've learned about it in November. My sister, who I love dearly, has four daughters. The first daughter is my goddaughter, and she moved out to California and now is in a homosexual relationship. And then I found out just last week when I was visiting that their second daughter is moved in with her boyfriend, or actually he moved in with her. And they've all been to Catholic school. They've all been, you know, then there's still two daughters at home. Mm-hmm. And I'm really struggling with this because I have five kids, and my oldest two are just really best friends.
How old are your oldest two?
My Grace is 16 and 14. Okay. And then my sister has a younger the two daughters still living at home. One's 21, and the other.
I'm more interested in since your question is about your kids, I want to focus on them because you have the most influence there. Tell me, you know, right. How as a family do you guys pray together as a family?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
So we pray at night. And, you know, just give thanks to God. We pray before supper. My husband is a wonderful, godly man. And on Sundays,
awesome.
We do like a family holy hour. We go to adoration on Thursday.
Okay.
Some of the older girls go. Sometimes they don't. We kind of leave it up to them. But
okay, but they sometimes go.
They will go.
And Sandy, when they are going through anything in their lives, a struggle with friends, a test coming up, do you pray with them about concerns like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Great.
Yeah.
You are way ahead of the game.
That's fantastic. So here's, I'd like you to add something to this, okay? So one of the things that we don't appreciate as Christians, I think we've forgotten this. You know, why are we Christian? You know, why did Jesus come? You know, well, he came to save us. Well, yes, but what did he come to save us from? Well, sin. Oh, yeah, okay, but what is sin? Ah, well, then people say, well, sin means doing the wrong thing. Well, no, actually, it doesn't. It means failing to love as God wants us to love, him and each other. And Jesus came so he could teach us how to love. I give you a new commandment, love one another. How? As I have loved you. Not the same old broken way you've always loved each other, but the way I am loving you. So in other words, Jesus is saying, guys, you have no idea how to love. And it's true, right? All of us have love in our hearts. We all want to be loved. We want to give love, but we don't know how to love in ways that are loving. We certainly don't know how to love the way God wants us to. And everybody's trying to figure it out on their own. And so we get it horribly, horribly wrong. you know, your sister's kids are really struggling to know how to love and be loved, and they're trying to figure it out on their own, and they don't know how, and so they're getting it horribly wrong. And so every day as parents, we need to pray with our kids. Lord, teach us how to love each other the way you want us to. You know, show us, you know, you can acknowledge us. Lord, you know, we all want to love each other. We all want to be loved. We want to, you know, and Lord, you know, you want our kids to love and be loved and have healthy, godly relationships when they grow up. But, you know, none of us know how to do that. And so teach us how. Show us every day how to love each other. Teach our kids how to know what they are worth in your eyes and to always turn to you first to ask you to teach them how to love and be loved the way you want them to, and make that the subject of your prayer, so then that becomes the subject of conversations too, because you know that's really at the heart of your question, right? And unfortunately, you know, when parents always say this, we did all the right things. We sent our kids to Catholic school. We sent them. We took them to Mass. Those are all good things to do. Those are important things to do. And Mass, of course, is essential. But that doesn't necessarily address the question, what does it mean for us to love and be loved the way God wants us to? Like, I mean, if we have conversations about going to Mass that say, you know, look, when we receive the Eucharist, Jesus gives us all of himself, and he asks us to give all of ourselves back in return, and that's the kind of relationship we're called to. Well, fine, okay? But most of us don't have that question. We just go to Mass, and we send our kids to school, and we assume that they're going to somehow pick this up, and they don't, right? So having that prayer where every day as a family, you know, for example, we say, okay, Lord, teach us how to love each other the way you want us to. And then maybe have a conversation right after and says, okay, guys, what's one small thing we can all do to try to make each other's day a little easier or more pleasant? What do you think God is asking us to do for each other today? So you have the prayer, and then you have a 5-minute conversation about what you're going to do to take better care of each other. And then you pray with your girls, with all your kids, Lord, you know, help them to know what they're worth in your eyes, and help them to know how you want them to love others and how you want them to be loved by others, so they never settle for anything less than what you want for them. And you're teaching them to give their relationships, all their relationships, even their friendships, to God, right? So, you know, they come home and they're talking to you about a friend that's struggling with something. You make sure you pray about that, and you say, Lord, you know, teach my daughter how to respond to this friend in a way that would really glorify you and help her be her best self, and invite them to be their best selves too. And so as you're praying through this, you're really teaching them how to love and how to be loved, and how to ask God to show them all of that, right? So you're showing them how to make the Lord of all of their relationships from this age forward. And the more we can do that as parents, the more we're teaching our kids that they don't have to figure out how to love and be loved on their own. That what they need to do is ask God every day to teach them. And the more they do that, the more God will lead them down his path for the relationships that he wants them to have.
And as you teach them about how to love and be loved, and they learn that, you know, loving another person is working for their good, right? It's not happy feelings. It's not what's convenient. It's not who you just gel with. It's somebody who's going to work for their good, and they want to work for that person's good. When we do that, we can see the difference between lust and love. We can see the difference between use and love, somebody who just wants to use them to hang out with because they're a great person, for a sexual encounter, for a lifetime that's not healthy for them because they don't want to move out of their comfort zone. They begin to see the difference, and it gives them everything that Greg's talking about here, and that understanding gives them that sense at their core when someone, anyone in any situation, wants to use them instead of love them. And you also call them on, you know, are you friends with this person just because they're easy to hang out with? Are you using them, or do you really care for them?
When you did that thing to your brother or your sister, were you using them or were you loving them? You know, so you make that a part of the conversation in your home too. We talk about this, by the way, in our book, Beyond the Birds and the Bees, Raising Sexually Whole and Holy Kids. It's appropriate for parents of kids from infancy to young adulthood, because we talk about the Catholic vision of love as it evolves through the different stages of child development. That's Beyond the Birds and the Bees, the Catholic Guide to Raising Whole and Holy Kids. Also, our book, Discovering God Together, gets into this as well. But, you know, you can run with the suggestions that we've made here, but if you want to go deeper, those two resources can be tremendously helpful. Also, I'm going to point you to CatholicHOM.com as well. It stands for Households on Mission. And in addition to having tons of resources to help build strong domestic churches, we provide daily accompaniment. Our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches are interacting with our member families every day, helping them learn what it means to overcome these challenges that we all struggle with as we try to live out God's call for our family lives. So check it out, CatholicHOM.com, if you're interested. Sandy, thank you so much for the call. You're heading down the right road, so far ahead of so many other parents. I think adding this piece to it all will be tremendously helpful for you guys. All right, that's all the time we've got for today's program, but thanks so much for being with us. If you'd like to learn more about building a strong domestic church, come on over to CatholicHOM.com and become a subscribing member today so that you can get all the support that you need to build a strong, dynamic domestic church. That's CatholicHOM.com. And you can also check out our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, and many other resources at CatholicHOM.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Get out there and celebrate the life God has in store for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.